Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Our mission today, well, it's pretty clear. We are sailing straight into the world of the Corinthians Association.
Right.
This is a sailing group with a really storied cast and a calendar that is just packed.
It's unbelievable.
So for anyone out there thinking about expanding their nautical horizons, our goal is to figure out exactly who they are, how they operate, and, you know, the big question.
Yeah.
Why should you join?
And what's so fascinating right off the bat is that the Corinthians isn't defined by, you know, bricks and mortar.
Mm-hmm.
It's defined by its spirit. It's a U.S. East Coast-based association of amateur sailors, and it was founded way, way back in 1934.
Wow.
And their whole charter is pretty simple.
Yeah.
Promote sailing, create real camaraderie, and connect skippers with competent crew. Everything they do is built around this idea they call the Corinthian spirit.
And that's a vital point to make, because if you hear Corinthian Yacht Club, you might think
the Marblehead or Philadelphia.
Yeah.
The big fixed clubhouse organizations.
Right. The real estate, the whole setup in one harbor. But the Corinthians Association is deliberately separate from all that.
Totally separate. Their focus isn't on a building. It's on cruising in company. It's about extending the social and sailing front all up and down the East Coast.
Which makes perfect sense when you look at how they started.
Oh, absolutely. That identity is baked right into their origin story. It was founded in 34, and they modeled it after the British Little Ship Club.
But the timing is everything.
The timing is everything. It grew out of the Great Depression. Before then, if you had a big yacht, you had paid captains, professional crews. The Corinthians, well, they were a lifeline. A way for owners to keep their boats sailing by using unpaid crew based on shared effort.
So that economic reality kind of, it birthed this entire ethos.
It really did.
It wasn't just about saving money. It became this formalized shared commitment. So when we talk about the Corinthian spirit, what does that actually mean on the water?
It's more than a slogan. It means high moral standards, a personal code of ethics, real sportsmanship, and a deep respect for the rules.
So it's like a self-policing kind of sport.
Exactly. It's a law greater than themselves. If you're racing, you hold yourself accountable, even if nobody saw the foul. If you're cruising, you're genuinely committed to the safety of the boats around you. It just shifted the whole foundation for this group from a paid service to a real fellowship.
And that standard is pretty clearly reflected in their membership requirements, right? Which is, you know, the first hurdle for anyone listening who's thinking joining.
Right. So the association has over 700 members, and that includes spouses and partners.
Okay.
And while a lot of them have incredible experience, offshore racing, you name it, the crucial point is that you do not need to own a boat.
That's huge.
It's a game changer. The bar is just having enough experience to be considered competent crew. So if you're a good sailor, maybe you charter a lot but have never owned.
You're a perfect fit.
You're a perfect fit. It's a great way to get deeply involved.
That accessibility is really appealing, but I did notice a crucial nuance in the sources about powerboats. They seem pretty focused on sailing.
Oh, it's a very specific gate. It's designed to protect that core identity. If you own a powerboat, you're only welcome if you're a long-term established sailboat skipper who just recently switched to power.
So not for lifelong powerboat enthusiasts.
Definitely not. They are consciously, you know, focused on the skills and traditions unique to sailing. It keeps everyone, well, sailing in the same direction.
That makes a lot of sense. They're guarding that tradition. And if you meet that bar, the cost is, I mean, pretty reasonable for what you get.
It is. Annual dues are $155. Plus a one-time $250 entrance fee for new members. And they even have reduced rates for younger members, 18 to 30, which is great to see.
And that fee unlocks a ton of activity, right? It's not just a summer thing?
Not at all. It's year-round, thanks to their fleets being spread out geographically.
Yeah.
You've got Chesapeake Bay, Long Island Sound, Mystic, and New England.
So there are always social and educational events happening, even when there's snow on the ground.
Yep. So let's talk about what they do when they're not actually underway, because the ashore activities are just as impressive.
They blend education and community so well.
The variety is just incredible. I was looking at late 2025 and early 2026, and these aren't just, you know, dry lectures in a stuffy room.
Right.
For instance, in November 2025, the Long Island Sound Fleet has a guided tour of Manresa Wilds.
Which is the old decommissioned power plant in Norwalk, Connecticut.
Exactly. And it's a site that's usually closed to the public. So it's a way to engage with the actual coastline you're sailing past.
And at the same time, down on the Chesapeake, they're doing an event at the Smithsonian Environmental Research Center.
Yeah, a lecture and tour focusing on marine conservation. So they're not just learning about sails, they're learning about the water they sail on.
And then you have the Winter Speaker Series?
Which is where they tap into the incredible experience of their own members. The Mystic Seat, for example, had members talking about voyages to Lake Champlain, and another one about a single-handed trip all the way to the Azores and back.
Okay, but this is where it gets really interesting. This moves from a challenge to a high-stakes drama.
You're talking about Bob Osborne.
I am. He's giving a talk in January 2026 about his passage to the Azores on his boat, Pandora. And his talk specifically includes a tussle with an orca pod.
I mean, that's the kind of access that just sets the Corinthians apart. An orca encounter isn't just a sea story.
No.
It's a real test of seamanship, preparedness, all of it. And by sharing these incredible, sometimes dangerous experiences, the whole group gains knowledge you just can't get from a textbook. It reinforces that whole competent crew idea.
Just having access to those stories is worth the price of admission. But logistically, how do they keep everyone in the loop? I mean, four fleets, 700 members all over the East Coast.
They're really good at it. They have an active website, a monthly email newsletter with upcoming events, and then a quarterly one with longer articles and photos. And they still, and I love this, they still mail out an annual hard copy yearbook. It's a directory and a resource that people keep right on their boats.
Fantastic. All right, let's switch from the classroom to the cockpit, the main reason people join cruising. What makes a Corinthians cruise different?
Well, their annual cruises are typically 1 to 2 weeks, and they're all on the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
The big benefits really come back to that spirit we talked about, camaraderie and safety.
Right.
So if you've been a little nervous about, say, navigating the coast of Maine by yourself, the whole idea of cruising in company with a Corinthian buddy boat.
It's a huge psychological relief.
It's massive. It just lowers the barrier to going to these more distant, challenging places.
Which makes their destination for the 2025 annual cruise incredibly exciting. Mid-coast Maine, Penobscot Bay, and Acadia.
It's a fantastic itinerary.
That's a bucket list trip that can intimidate a lot of people.
Absolutely. And it's all planned out. It launches Thursday, July 31st, 2025 from Belfast and ends on Saturday, August 9th in Camden. They even organize feeder cruises from places like Booth Bay Harbor so everyone can group up.
So what are some of the highlights once they're underway?
Oh, they hit the classic spots, Tennant's Harbor, Bucks Harbor, and the absolutely stunning Somme Sound.
The only real fjord on the Atlantic coast.
That's the one. And the main event is really built around the lay day at Somme Sound on August 4th. That's the day for free play for everyone to go explore Mount Desert Island and Acadia National Park.
And that lay day, it's not just about hiking, right? There are some unique events planned.
Oh, yeah. That afternoon has the highly competitive salty pot contest.
A cook-off, basically.
A cook-off in a tiny galley, which is followed by a cocktail hour. It's just a fun, core, social part of the cruise.
I love that blend of serious exploring and fun. What else happens during the cruise?
Well, they have fun races like the Quaff Around the Fleet race, definitely more about bragging rights. And they organize these mix, meet, and dine around the harbor events to make sure everyone connects. And the finale in Camden even has an option for Shakespeare in the Park.
So it's sailing, culture, socializing, all of it.
All wrapped into one 10-day trip.
Perfect. Okay, let's look ahead to 2026 because this is where you really see the range and the global reach of the association. Joining now really sets you up for some amazing opportunities.
It really does. The 2026 schedule is packed. In March, they have an international rendezvous in the Exumas.
The Exumas.
Yep. March 19th to the 21st at Lorraine's Cafe on Great Guanacay. Basically a St. Patrick's Day party in the Bahamas.
And they have those close ties to the British Little Ship Club. Does that lead to any big trips?
It leads to the single highest demand event on their calendar. The combined Corinthians Little Ship Club Abacos cruise.
Okay.
It's scheduled for April 18th to the 28th, 2026.
Yeah.
Hitting Marsh Harbor, Green Turtle Cay, Hopetown. But here's the catch.
Let me guess. It's full.
Pre-registration is closed, and it's already at full capacity. It just shows you the caliber of cruising that membership can unlock.
So if you can't get on that one, what about sharpening your skills closer to home? What's happening in 2026 for the competitive folks?
They cater really well to racers who value skill over just, you know, having a big budget. On April 11th, there's the annual Frostbite Regatta.
That's the Dyer Dow racing, right?
It is, at Mystic Seaport. It's small, tender racing, so it's all about raw skill and handling, not the size of your wallet. It really fits that Corinthian spirit.
It absolutely does.
And then on June 6th, they host the historic single-handed and double-handed race, which they've been running every year since 1946. Just a fundamental test of seamanship.
And the next big summer cruise?
Save the date for that one. The 2026 annual cruise, August 2nd to 9th, is going to be exploring the South Coast and islands of Massachusetts.
Another classic. Okay, let's bring this all back home to recruitment. If you're listening and you're intrigued by all this, the Chesapeake Bay Fleet is hosting the perfect low-pressure way to check them out.
Yes, the Bah Humbug Gam.
The what?
The Bah Humbug Gam. It's on January 31st, 2026.
Okay.
It's a social gathering in Crownsville, Maryland, specifically for members to bring friends who might want to join. It's the ideal way to just gauge the community fit.
And the sources mention it's a dinner with, quote, delicious food and delightful company.
And critically, there is no charge for the event.
Wow.
You do have to register, of course, but it's free. It's the perfect relaxed way to meet people and see if the Corinthian life is for you.
So, boiling it all down, after 90 years, what's the core value proposition here?
I think it's the perfect complement to your local yacht club. You know, if your club keeps you tied to one harbor, the Corinthians lets you explore distant ones, and more importantly, it really expands your skill level just by being around so many fine, experienced sailors.
So if you're an experienced sailor looking for organized cruising, real-world education, and a chance to make lasting friendships up and down the East Coast,
this is without a doubt worth investigating.
Immediately.
And to leave you with one final thought to mull over. Given that the organization was founded during the Depression on this principle of shared effort and personal integrity, that Corinthian spirit, how does that origin, born from hardship, change the way members approach competition and companionship today compared to other groups that were founded in, you know, times of plenty?
That's a great question.
That fundamental difference, I think it shapes every single thing on their calendar, from those little frostbite races all the way up to that salty pot contest.